Shabbos Yerushalmi, corresponding to Shabbos Bavli, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We begin Yerushalmi on Daf Sadi Aleph on the base at the second Mishnah on the page, which is Halacha Hey. Akashal Gabe Hamita, Leilaninu Biyadi, Avmaninu Begufi. When we not use his hand to move straw on a bed, but he may move it with his body. If the straw was food for animals, or if a sheet or blanket was spread over it before Shabbos, he may move it with his hand. I may open a commoner's press, means a pair of boards between which clothes are pressed, they may not clothe it onto clothes. One may not touch a launderer's press. Buddha says if it was slightly open before Shabbos, he may open it entirely and remove the garment. And the Gemara says, Masnithan Vishulay Yashan Alav Me Esmal. When Yashan Alav Me Esmal, Kugufayu. The Gemara says, our Mishnah discusses when he didn't sleep on it before Shabbos, but he slept on it, it's like the bed itself. Rabbi Yaakov Ayidi, Rishonim, Hayushonim, Mahu Shinane Bederch Etzile Yadav. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi says that the early Chacham used to ask, may one move it through his elbows? Rabbi Yonai, Karuach, Kricha, Kafuach, Kafucha, Shafuch, Zaninim, Alman, it should say, to Karuri Le, Nafal Beisei, Almagid, Viach Alea. Rabbi Yonai commented that this is like people saying, tear out hair of one who has a bald patch, he'll be totally bald. If robbers rob someone, they take from him what remained. Pour cold water on one who is chilled. If one's house fell and the boundary is not clear, his neighbor widens his boundary and takes from him. Also here, poverty pursues the poor. Perhaps we're stringent on this poor man who lacks a proper bed and sleeps on straw. Tani Rebchir Hadin Din Laoni. Rebchir taught in the Baisa, the question about this law is only for a poor man who lacks a proper bed. Surely we're not lenient for a rich man. Tani Moedin Chachamim Ludmeya Bechoyf Moshe Bekarka Shemafak Bekim Mafkim Umatirin agree with Meir about ropes tied on covers over land that one may move, but not to cause it to open, unravel, untie, and cut them on Yom Tov, and on Shabbos one may move, but not unravel, untie, or cut. Ropes tied on kelim on Shabbos if permitted, there's no need to tease it if permitted on Yom Tov. We can infer that a press, Chacham made it like land, means it's forbidden on Shabbos. Amrav Yosi, Masnithin Amakein, Shal Kovsim Lo Yigabai. And we bring a support. Rav Yosi brings from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, a press of launderers, one may not touch it. Adnolach, Perek Toilim.
21st Perek of Shabbos, Mishnah, Aleph, more halachas of Mukta. Noikolas Adam is the noise, or even the other. If a person's child is holding a stone or some Mukta, so you're not allowed to pick him up. The Mishnah says you are allowed to pick him up, and the Gemara explains it's talking about cases where the child is crying hysterically, and the only way to calm it down is by picking him up, and you can't get him to get rid of that stone. In order to calm down your child, since you're not holding the Mukta directly, they permitted it. This is only when he's holding a stone, if he's holding a coin, which is valuable, then even this is permitted. We're concerned kind of falling and take it up and put it away. He's just allowed to hold his hands, calm down. Kalkola, if you have a basket, the Evan, the Taifa is also not Mukta. The question is, why is it not Mukta? It's a basis, the Davar Asa, it's a Kli which is basis for Mukta. So it must be talking about either that there was Heta there also, which is more precious than the Mukta, and therefore you're allowed to, it's not a process, it's just a process for Egypt and Heter. Like a tree is supposed to shake off the Iser, but if you can't shake it off, because shaking it off will spoil the Heter oil, the area that you're in, you need to keep it clear, then you're allowed to carry the Heter with the Iser together. Yeah. Another way that would be permitted is that the stone was embedded in the Kalkol and was considered part of the Kalkol itself, as we learned previously in the Masechta. Another example of a tiltal that you have Heter and Iser together, that the fact that the Iker is the Heter permits the entire tiltal. The Mekalvim Shumat Tzmeyah Matayra the Mapulin. Lam Mekalvim Shumat Tzmeyah together with Shumat Tzmeyah and with Hulin. Because once again, you have the Heter, Shumat Tzmeyah is also, he has no use. Shumat Tzmeyah is Mutter Kokan and the Mekalvim is Mutter Ferry, but he's permitted. And therefore, since the majority of the stuff, the mochashav part is the heter, you land on the top of the kli that has both the heter and the is inside of it. Now, you don't even ask malim as the mezuma dechem emeir. If you have chulam that fell into truma, and you have 101 times the truma, so the halacha is that you have to take up one unit and treat that as truma, and everything else will be permitted. Now, you just said you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why does he permit that? Because he holds that the Esem is mutter to eat even before you took that one off. It's just a technical thing, you have to take it off. So in the name of it's just a technicality, it's not considered a tikkun. You don't pass like a Jew. When you first pack a Shabbos Mishnah base, we learned before counted the bosses of Dover also, which means that somebody intentionally put mukta on something which is not mukta, intending to leave it there on Shabbos. Not only is it also to move the mukta, but let's say put on a table, the table will also be mukta. Unless he had something that was mutter on the table that was worth more than the other also. But what happens if you forgot it? If you forgot the mukta on a table or any other surface or thing, it does not become a basis. Even so, you should not carry the table together with the stone on top of it if you can shake it off. That's what our mission is telling us. Evan shall be a chobit. If you have a stone on top of a jug, mata al sida v'inafel. You should tilt it off before you move the jug, because, like we said, if you can shake it off, you should shake it off. This jug was amongst other earthenware jugs, so if you're going to tilt off the stone, it's going to break the jug next to it, so you don't have an option of shaking it off. Then you have to pick it up and move it away and then tilt it off. In other words, once again, you're supposed to minimize indirect tiltal of mukta. So if you can shake off the mukta right away, shake it off. If you cannot shake it off either because it's going to break something near it, or you just need that area, you need that floor space for something else, or even if you're afraid you're going to damage, if you have a camera on top of something, you're going to shake it off, you're going to break the camera, you're also not required to shake it off. So you can't do that. Carry the heter with the mukta on top of it, and then when you get to a place you can shake it off over there, you shake it off in another place. Yeah. Shall gather a card, the same thing applies for money on top of a pillow. No, it's a card, a noiseless. You also, if you want to move the pillow, with some medication, once again, you didn't intentionally leave it there, you forgot it there. And so he's allowed it, if he wants to move the pillow, he shakes off the pillow and the money falls off. It's a new halacha. Now, until now we're talking about halacha of mukta, now we're talking about halacha of kibbutz. Kibbutz means you're not allowed to clean off a garment and even certain types of leather is also up to clean on Shabbos. So if you have this pillow that is made out of some cloth and it had some like a phlegm or some other type of silk on it, so it says, Mekasa b'smatut. You're allowed to wipe it off with a towel or some other type of shmata, but you're not allowed to put water on it. Because even without scrubbing, without self putting water on a garment is considered kibbutz midaraisa, also midaraisa. Hoyzu shel or, if it was made out of leather, which is something that doesn't absorb the liquid as much, then noisem aleh mayim ashtichah, you might actually pour water on it. But to rub it, to get off the lichos that's on it, together with the water, that is also even by soft leather, because they have still a certain nature, like similar to a garment. So once again, a garment, you now let's put water on to clean it off, even if you do not scrub it or rub it or anything. Leather, you're allowed to wash it off with water, provided it's soft leather, that you don't rub the leather against itself. When you first pack of Shabbos Mishnah Gimel, we're going back to Hilchos Mukta. We have a Bachlegis, Beishamis, and Beitil, and the Gemara says we should switch the opinions. And it's really what it says here, Beishamis, Beitil, and Beitil, Beishamis. Beishamis, Oymer, Magbir, Me'al Shulchan, Atomus, Atlipin, which, once again, Valacha, we say this is Beitil's opinion, which is Valacha. If somebody ate chicken and had some bones left, had some peel, he ate an orange and had some peels left, even though those things are not edible for human beings anymore, they're not considered mukta. The reason why they're not considered mukta is because now they are food than animals can eat. So even though when an answer to Shabbat it was part of something that was set aside for human use, and now it was separated from that and it's only usable for animal use, we paskin like of Shimon that is not muksa. Whereas the ones the machmirim would hold that this is muksa, which is Deshami's opinion basically, and our mission says Betil loyimim loyimim tatava kula umenada. He says that the one who holds there is a problem looks the holds that you're not allowed to pick up these bones themselves, but you can pick up the tray that they are on and shake it off, which is the same concept we've done before. It's something that was not there from the beginning of Shabbos, looks that was not on the double heter at the beginning of Shabbos, you're allowed to shake it off. Those that say that also this is not considered that it was intentionally put there. He didn't stop to want it to be on the tray, he just threw down the piston onto the tray. In any event, if somebody has a tray which has peels, you're allowed to shake it off. Now the reason why it's not muksa love is because it's something that animals can eat. If you live in a place that does not have any animals, then it is muksa, even according to our opinion. Now being made of snare shulchan perun pochus mikazayis, the tail shall afunim. If you have crumbs that are less than the size of a kezayis, or the pods of peas, the seyos of atoshim, pods of lentils, these are also parts that people take off before they eat them, but they're not muksa because of the nation makal behema, they're something that animals will eat. As we said, if you're living in a place that has no animals, they'll eat these things, they are muksa. Tvoy im yesh boy beis achiza mekanasim boy, simlav im mekanasim boy. A sponge, you're not allowed to use a sponge because when you hold it, you're going to squeeze out some of the water. But if it has a handle on the sponge, then you are allowed to use it on Shabbos. It's not like it, whether you're allowed to use it only in fashion that will not be situation for the water to come out, or even in such a case, the rabbis and the chiddush that we look at it as this, like a bottle full of water. That's only when it has a handle. When it doesn't have a handle, it's definitely also. Benkaf or benkaf mitul de Shabbos, the Eidim Mekabel Tumas. A sponge is not mukta, provided that it's not full of water. If it's full of water, then you can't pick it up, so you can squeeze it out. And it's not makabel tuma. Why? Because it's a natural tvog is made out of some plant in the sea, which is not makabel tuma. The mycin is made out of synthetic material, so it's not makabel tuma. 22nd parak of Shabbos. Chovish in Nishbara, if there was a jug that broke on Shabbos and it was full of whatever it was, wine or the like. So my feeling, man, a Muslim shall do this. You'll have to stay from it, food or drink or whatever you need, and that is enough to use for 3 students on Shabbos. This is a similar example to what we saw by putting out a fire, that a person's all excited about saving as much as he can, and we're concerned that if you let him save too much, he may inadvertently try to fix this barrel that broke. He can tell other people that they should also save for themselves, this is why he'll be able to save more. He's not allowed to use a sponge to absorb the wine that fell out easily. A sponge, we said so before, is also the cloud, but even if it has a base achiz, it has a handle, which you are allowed to use a sponge in certain conditions. Over here you're not. We're concerned that he will inadvertently squeeze it, or some say that's because it's over the choyl. Too much work cleaning up over here. And now we're starting a new malacha of schita. Schita, squeezing out juices from fruit, is an iser, part of the iser of dosh, of threshing, which you're taking your desired part out of the chaff, which is over here. It's called mefarik, taking the juice out of the fruit that was in midaraita. The only fruits that have shechita are olives and grapes, because they're primary uses for the juice. Other fruits are also derabanan. And third one is the pears, like made in mashi. You're not allowed to squeeze a fruit for the juice to come out. And you also may ask my student. And not only that, but even if he didn't do it purposely, but they came out by themselves. They were sitting in the sun and the juice is oozed out. If you're not allowed to use that juice in Shabbos, and say, are you going to come to squeeze it out? Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda says, in La'ayichlem, if these food are set aside for eating purposes, then Ayyutimim Mutter. Then Vamashkim Ayyutimim Mutter. If they are made for, you want to squeeze the juice, then the juice that comes out of them by themselves is off. In other words, he tells the whole Zerah that you're going to squeeze the fruit when the fruit juices come out by themselves. It's only coming out from fruit that you're planning to squeeze them eventually. Gemara says that everybody agrees that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that basins are nothing, grapes and olives, even though your intent was to eat them, even so the juice that comes out of them is also because it's more of a shash. This is nogea if you cut up some fruit and make a salad, fruit cocktail, then you have a bunch of juice on the bottom. So over here, your intent was not for the juice, your intent was for the fruit. So we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda, this thing, that juice will be mutter. The question is, what happens if you have grapes? If your grapes be cut up and juice collect on the bottom, then the grape juice that collect on the bottom will be also to use. If you have a fruit cocktail with a little bit of grapes and a larger amount of other fruits, and you have some juice on the bottom, we can say that the juice from the grapes is bottled and the other juice. But if you have, in the case of one few bottles, will be also. Yeah. So that's what Jesus said in Ma'ayiflim, Ma'ayiflim, if your intent was to eat these fruits and juices came out of them, the juices come out of mutter, unless coming out of olives or grapes. In Lamashkin, it's the fruit that we intended to squeeze them eventually, then I gave them up, even if it came out by itself, the juice that comes out of it is also. Chalas vashavizka meyev Shabbos v'yotze meyav asmam. The author also take honey out of honeycomb. But if you crush the honeycomb before Shabbos, and then the honey came out of it, asudim, rabbi lezim mate, the chavim asr over here, because they also there's a gzera that you're going to crush the honeycombs in Shabbos, and chachomim are matir over here. The mice over here we pass in likulo that you're not allowed to crush the chatzilah, but if it was crushed before Shabbos and honey came out of it, you're allowed to use the honey on Shabbos. Second pack of Shabbos Mishnah days. We're starting halachas now of bishul, cooking on Shabbos. Kol avot b'cham me'er Shabbos. Something that was cooked before Shabbos, shoy ma'it b'cham b'Shabbos. You're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos because it's already cooked in bishul after bishul. Kol shaloi b'ol b'cham me'er Shabbos. The food that was not cooked before Shabbos, then you're not allowed to put it into a kli rishon on Shabbos because that's considered cooking. The matzicha ma'it b'chamim. You're allowed to wash it off with hot water. This is talking about pouring water from a kli sheni. That's not mefashal. To pour water from a kli rishon, we paskin is mefashal a certain amount. Yeah, matzicha ma'it b'shabbos. Chutz me'maliach hayoshon. The kula says banim shadachosan nigma malachdom. There's a certain type of old salty fishes that they would not be eaten till you wash them off in water. They're so salty. So these ones, if you wash them off with water, even the water is from a kli sheni, it's also considered a type of dish, which is also. So wash them off with cold water if permitted. 22nd pack of Shabbos Mishnah Gimel. Now, this is a malacha of Tosef. You're not allowed to make a kli, you're not allowed to break a kli on Shabbos. In certain circumstances, you can break it. Show you where other metacholis lecho a man of dragus will bevach and let you have lasses keli. You're allowed to break a jug that has dried figs in it to get out the dried figs, provided that you're not intending to break in the fashion, in a nice fashion, that you make like a hole in it. Because making a hole in it is also a type of vineyard, that making a nice fashion. So. But yeah, the mitre over here is talking about the cleat itself was already broken cleat, they were stuck together. But it's perfectly good cleat. In this case, you're not allowed to break down Shabbos yet because we're concerned that maybe break it in a fashion that will have a nice hole in it. The heter of ripping off wrappers and the like, because these are not choshev things, and once you destroy them, you're not going to destroy them. It's just most of the tzeich to get out the food on Shabbos. Yeah. Ein noitzim agufa shalchavim tzidim rabbi yuzer chachavim matzidim. If you have a magufa, a stopper in a chavit, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's also, and the Chachamim say it's mutter. Why do they permit it over here? Because normally if you make a hole in a kli, you don't make it on the top, because if you make it on the top, things fall into it. You make it on the side. So this is a abnormal hole, and therefore Chachamim permitted it. Like Vera Mitzida, you should not make a hole in the chavit itself on the side. Yeah. So once again, or even for the makufa. The bottom line is like this. You cannot make a hole in the kli itself because that's a tikkun for the kli. To make a hole in the stopper you can make, provided you make it on the top of the stopper, which is an abnormal way of making it. Just make it on the side of the stopper in the fashion that things won't be able to fall into it is prohibited. Lo yitein olav shayvim pnei shum amarech. When I was in another malacha, there's a malacha of taking a hide and scraping off the hairs and smoothing it out. A total of that malacha is amarech of smearing some type of paste or wax on something to smooth it out. So also over here, if there's a hole in the clean, you want to smooth it off, so you shouldn't smear wax over it, because that's going to smooth off, it's going to stop the hole and also smooth off the area around, which is an issur. The cloud is an issur of smearing creams on oneself, and cream on a bandage, which is also, cream on bandage is also derisive. On the Rabbi Yehuda, Maitre, Boros, and Rabbi Yechon, and Zaki, by Rav. There's a Maitre, such a Maitre, in this place called Harov, and Rabbi Yechon, and Zaki said, oh, ma, for Shannon, and Mechat, somebody, that stopped the whole such a fashion, and Choshe said it was over, and Israel's arise. 22nd parak of Shabbos, Mishnah Talad. We learned previously, in the 4th parak, that Israel of Hatmona on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take something warm and wrap it up to preserve its heat. So there are certain situations that are similar to Hatmona. You take something and you either wrap it up in something or put it into another, to a liquid, to preserve its state. That it's not hatmana, and that's the case. So, mission notes and tashel will take above the shul shehei shoma. You're allowed to take a pot of food and put it into a hole in the ground, so to protect it. Over here, lemaisa, it's not wrapped in anything, so there's no problem over here. Also, you want to protect it from being out in the sun, so it shouldn't get spoiled. So, it's not the idea. Hatmana, which you want to preserve the heat, and the chiddush over here is also that you're not concerned that if you let him put in a pit in the ground, he's going to dig a pit. That the mine a yochin the royim the shulshi etzan. If you want to cool off water, you have some body of water which some water that is salty water, bitter water, and you put a bottle of cool off close bottle of cold water into this a bottle of drinkable water into this. Whatever, salty or filthy water, to cool it off. That is also not hatmana, because you're not doing it to keep it warm, you're doing it to cool it off. You could also take a bottle of cold water and put it in the sun to warm up. That's also not zayma, it's hatmana, because you're putting it in the sun itself, not wrapping it up in anything. Yeah, so there's no zayma in any of these situations. That if you put something in something else, you're going to come and put the pot on cold, so far removed from the idea of putting kind of a pot into cold. Someone's walking and his garments got wet from the water. He's not allowed to squeeze them out, but he's ma'alach for him. He's not allowed to continue walking. We're not choshish. That's going to squeeze them out. And there's the hesem mishum kovad abrius that we let the person keep on wearing his clothing. There is a certain level of shash. He may squeeze out his clothing. When he gets into his courtyard, then he should take them off. You know, they only permitted him as much as walking outside, not in his private domain. Then he could put them to dry out in the sun. If a loy kenegad ha'om, he shouldn't do it in a place where people could see, because they can be choshed that he is born with something on Shabbos. This is not halacha. The halacha is that if it's an issur of marasayin, you're not allowed to even do it in your private area. Perek Chav Bey, 22nd Perek of Shabbos, Mishnah Hay. Harech has been made Ma'or, been made Tveria, been established. A person who took a bath in waters of the cave, or water of Chami Tver, which are natural springs, even though the water is hot, it's permitted to wash oneself in it. By a case of a Chami Tveria, one is allowed to bathe himself in them on Shabbat. There's no gzeira that you may come to heat up water. Waters in this cave, even if they are warm waters, one should not use them, because the gzeira people are going to go to a bathhouse. But the Tveria waters were very clear cut and distinct as they're naturally heating. If a person bathes himself, then it's tapek, he dried himself off. Afil ba'ete alumtios. He had 10 towels, the other should not carry them, with a that you may squeeze them out, even though there's not so much water in each one of them. If the 10 people using one towel, even though it has much more water in it, whether they use it, like the Mishnah says, to wash their hands, feet, and legs, or even for the entire body, still, if you know it's in the yom, they can bring it, because since there's 10 people here, we assume that one will remind the other one not to squeeze it out. Second pack of Shabbos, Mishnah Vav, these are certain things that are also here because of Uvda Zechol, weekday style behavior, or Refua. Sochim, Uvim Mashim, V'nei Me'ayim. One's allowed to smear oil and do a light type of massage on the stomach. The Gemara says that he has to do it with a certain shina, which is to smear the oil and do that light massage together. During the week, they would do one after the other. This amlin is either a more vigorous type of massage, which is with the coil, or it's exercising, which one works up the sweat, which is considered a fula. It's exercising for a fula. One should not do it. One is gardim, shouldn't scrape himself with a brush. It's not talking about combing his hair, it's on his body also, it's considered over the coil. And yodim the kodima, you don't go into this body of water called kodima. Rashi's shot is it was slippery then, we're concerned you're going to fall in and get your clothing wet and squeeze them out. So the Rambam says it's some type of hot springs that was used for refuah. Either way, it's also either for the chashash shechita or refuah. Ein oisim apik toizin. This is taking medicine to cause oneself to vomit is also to take on Shabbos, considered a type of medicinal behavior. But if somebody has something that's bothering him and his stomach is allowed to put his finger in to get it out, because it's not a real refuah, and therefore if it's similar to refuah in the fact that he's doing it with the medicine, it's also, but he's doing it with his finger, it's permitted. Obviously the Gemara says that person just gorges himself and then gets himself to throw it up, and that's the reason during the weekday. In Ma'atim, Mr. Cotton, this is somehow the little babies that would, when the body, the spine or backbone got a little bit out of place, they would have some procedure to put things in the right order. That's a type of binyan, which is offered to do on Shabbos. You are allowed to wrap them up to make sure everything's in the right place. Ein machzirin et hashever. You're not allowed to put a broken bone back into a place. We don't pass it like this way. It's a dangerous thing if it's not done. There have to be certain bones that the doctors themselves don't put back in place. So, to get to whatever medically doctors say it's dangerous to leave it the way that you have to put it back in the place in Shabbos. Misha nifrika, yodav iragla, yishtafim b'tzayinim. If his arm or leg are dislocated, you should not rub them with cold water. Of a rifle to get dark, in the shop, if you take a regular bath or shower in cold water, and if it helps, it helps. L'maisa, mitzadisha din, putting back a dislocated arm is also. But the place we say today, when a person has a dislocation, it's a very extremely painful thing and cause damage. If it's not put back into place, and the mice is permitted. Yeah. 23rd pack of Shabbos. Shoyul Odomish Averik had the Yayin Kaddish Shemin. You're allowed to borrow jugs of wine and oil on Shabbos. Even though you're not allowed to make transactions on Shabbos, to borrow something is permitted. You should not say, loan it to me. Halveini is a term used generally for borrowing money, which was generally done for a long period of time. The halacha is that a person gives a stam halva, he's not demanded within 30 days, unless it's a clear minute otherwise. Or they made a condition otherwise. So we're concerned that if you say halveini, he may come to write it down, and therefore you should just use the lesson of borrowing, which is a term used for borrowing food from one another, which was for short periods of time, and there's not a chash that it will be written down. And then a woman is allowed to borrow from her friend bread. This is another discussion with the concept that you're not allowed to lend a commodity for a commodity. You're not allowed to lend technically potatoes to pay back the potatoes, because the price of potatoes may go up and you're going to give more value than you took. But things like bread, which are small things which people are not marked on, the Chazal permitted one to borrow. So the Chiddush, even during the weekday, neighbors can borrow from another, provided they pay back the same amount that they received. They're not allowed to pay back more, or they're not allowed to pay back a higher quality, because that's the problem with ribbon. In a mamino, if the neighbor doesn't trust him, so he should not demand, I want a mashkan, I want a security, because it's also a type of business. But maniach talita eflo, he said, you know, let me have a bottle of wine, I'll leave my jacket by you. And after Shabbos, they will make a cheshvan of how much he owes him. The same situation happens in Erev Pesach, that came on Shabbos, and he used to be part of the Korban Pesach. He also had to buy himself into the Korban Pesach. Also, maniach talita eflo, the neighbor left this way. He also, instead of seeking out prizes and securities and everything else, he just leaves his house by the one who owns the Korban Pesach. So he can make a cheshvan after Yontif, they make a cheshvan and what she owes him. The 23rd second of Shabbos Mishnah Beis, more Mishnahs relating to transactions and shoshas of coming to writing. Ma'idah Adam is also his papa, Loisav Mipid. Person can count out his guests and the dishes he's going to give to him with his mouth. Of a long enough job, he's not allowed to read out, not allowed to make a list of the different guests that are coming, or different dishes he plans to serve, and read it on Shabbos. This is a gzeira that he may come to erase what he wrote. If you want to remember what he prepared for meal one, what you get from meal two, you could put on the different foods or colored stickers or something. But to make a list of the different courses of each meal, one should not do. A mefis in other in bars and they base our shulchan. A person can make some type of lottery between his children on the table. But actually, can last as money to make a stand and mission kuvia. The piece missing in the mission, the way the Gemara explains like this is. The person is all his own food, and he wants to give it out to his kids. He doesn't want one to be jealous of the other, so he gives them out by making type of lottery. Whoever gets the lottery gets a piece. Someone makes it. Even if one gets a little bit bigger than the other, that's acceptable, because it's not done in a fashion of sale or anything. It all belongs to the father. He's just doing this to keep everybody calm. There's two people want to make some type of lottery, and whoever wins the lottery gets something. And that type of thing is also even during the weekday because of kuvios. It's the type of betting which is often. It's a chash of gezer, because we assume that the guy didn't really, everybody was sure that they're going to win. And when they made the deal, they didn't really intend to give it up to the second party. Matilim, Kaloshim, Alatoshim, these type of gorillas you can make for a kochim, which coin gets what piece of kochim? The yontif, even on yontif, as well as monet. The Gemara explains is that the kabbalas of Yontif itself, you're allowed to make this girl because it shows the chashivas. So everybody really wants it, and they make this lottery, so this way each one will be happy with what they get. The manas are the kabbalas that were brought from the day before, since it's not the kabbalas of today, and we don't have so much of an Indian to show the chashivas, they don't commit to you to make this type of lottery. 23rd pack of Shabbos Mishnah Gimel, continuing halachas relating to business and the like. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which means you should refrain from being involved in your business dealings on Shabbos, and also from speaking about things which are also to do on Shabbos. And that is halacha. And therefore, the Yisgod and fight with the Shabbos. You're not allowed to hire your workers on Shabbos. That's the type of transaction. You're not allowed to even tell your friend that you should hire workers for me, because once again, you're telling him to do something which is up to do on Shabbos. You can't say in a general term, is, are you going to be available tonight or something? But to say explicitly that I want to offer you a job, or even ask somebody to offer a job to somebody else, is awesome. One's allowed to work on Shabbos only $2,000 out of the city. If he has to go somewhere much to Shabbos, he's not allowed to walk on Shabbos up to the tchum and wait there, because that also shows that he's doing an act to be involved in his business. Once again, we're talking about a case where he's going to the tchum in order to do his some type of business after Shabbos, like Lisko Poilin, to hire workers or to bring his payers from the field. If he's only there to watch over something, it's permitted, because you're allowed to watch over things on Shabbos also. It's not something which is naked, it's not something which is clear, and you're doing a sort of chayav. And maybe pay it the other. And afterwards, since his main purpose was for watching something, if he gets to the field afterwards, this food carries last pick and bring it home. Rabbi Shaul said a rule. Anything I'm allowed to talk about, which is basically things that are not a malacha, such as a bar mitzvah or watching over things, one is allowed to also be mafshir. So the kids say, some is allowed to go to the school to bring things for a kala, a chasana, or a bevis, or whatever it may be. But for his own personal business, he's not allowed to do that. 23rd pack of Shabbos Mishnah Dalit. Mafshichim ala tchum l'spakeach aliske kalab aliske meis l'hobi oloi orim tachrif. And this is really explanation of the last statement of the previous Mishnah. When it's lateral towards the end of Shabbos, go to the tchum, and so that immediately after Shabbos go over the tchum, in order to be involved in things for a kala or for a meis that had to be buried, to bring a coffin or tachrifim, shrouds, all this is permitted, like we said before, as a tzorach mitzvah. Yeah. Goy Shevi Chaliv in the Shabbos, a goy who brought flutes on Shabbos, which the flutes were also used to make sad music, background music by for the Hesbedin, for the eulogies, for Yisbad and Yisrael. Elam came born in Malkin Korah, unless he came from somewhere away nearby. And he will not benefit from the fact that he brought it. It's permitted. The rule is that if a goy does malacha for me, I'm not allowed to use it on Shabbos, and I have to wait after Shabbos the amount of time it would take him to bring it from where, from his source. In other words, that way, I'm not getting any hanoah from what he does. Otlo Aron v'chofel l'kever, they made a coffin for him and they dug a grave from him. He covered the Israel. If the goy did loy Aron, he made a coffin or a grave for himself, then even though he did it on Shabbos, a Jew could use it after Shabbos, because it wasn't made of Tzaras Yisrael, it was made for the Kohen himself, and the Goy Shabbat didn't love it on Shabbos. The image for Yisrael, if he made it specifically for a Jew, lo yikavavai olamis, he should never use it as a burial thing. Now this is a chiddush, we said before, he should just wait the amount of time it takes to dig a grave. Yeah, it's only when it was Tzifat Hesia. Everybody saw that this was what happened, they were digging grave for the Jew, and therefore, there is an issue of people are going to learn from this. And oh, very malad do things for Jews. So, Chil Hashem. And we do not let one use that at all. Yeah, this is kind of fun. There are those who say this is a specific chumer by Kvura. We're more machmer by Kvura because the person's going to be buried there. It's forever, you know, it's a nation, and it's a bigger design from there. Everyone say, oh, this guy was buried in it. The 23rd pack of Shabbos Mishnah. We started talking about bringing things, doing things with Tzaraas HaMeis, and now the Mishnah is talking about other things with Tzaraas HaMeis, what is permitted, what is prohibited. Oysim kol Tzaraas HaMeis, one is allowed to do anything that is necessary to keep the dead body in a good condition, but we'll see there are limitations. Tzofin, or Matithan Oysim, you're allowed to anoint it with oil and wash it off. Now there's a certain chiddush, because there is a certain, when you rub some oil, there's a slight movement of the body, that's not considered enough of a movement to be considered tiltul muksa. Vashi lo yuziz lo yeda, but to move even a pinky is usur. In other words, the issur of muksa is even if you move part of the muksa thing, but smearing is not considered even that. That's also I'll see later, if you close the eyelids, it's also considered moving muksa. So if you're moving part of the body, shenzus hakam itachto, you'll have to remove the mattress from underneath him so that he should be laying down on a cold floor that was made out of sand or some other material. This is also, you're not directly carrying the mace, which is muksa, he's just removing something. Matila moita alato, and by doing so, he's going to be on the earthen the sand on the floor. Why do this? Bishvil shiyantin, that he should cool off, he shouldn't rot from the heat. Koishim is alesi, you're allowed to tie up his cheekbone. Lo shiyala, not to close it if it opened, that shalo yosef, it shouldn't continue opening up. The chayin, the semi concept that you're allowed to tie up or fix something to leave it as is, but not to make it better. Koishim ishra, a beam that broke, some from the oyster is afto. You'll have to support it with a bench so somebody will be able to sit on this beam of a roof sandita or the legs of a bed frame. Also, Moshe Tawel shall be taken. Also, if a bench started collapsing, you'll have to support it with something, but not, if it already collapsed, you now have to pick it up again. Eid me'amtim is a meis b'shabbos. One is not allowed to close the eyes of a dead body on Shabbos, like we mentioned before, this is considered also tiltul muksa, even though it's only part of the body, that's also other. The leiva choyle mitziyat nevesh, as a person's dying, you're now going to close his eyes because you may be killing him. Someone who closes the eyes of somebody who's about to die is considered a murderer because it's a very delicate state of this mace, and just leave him alone till his neshama goes out. Twenty-fourth and last parak of Shabbos. We had various mishnayos in the past about chacham concerned if a person's excited about a fire in his house or a barrel that broke. We limit what he can do because if he's going to start fixing everything up, he may come to do malachas. Now we have the other way around. The person's carrying his wallet and suddenly realizes that it's Shabbos. So he's now at a carry. But Chazal didn't require him to just drop it and lose his thousands of shkolim or dollars, euros that he had. Why? Because we're concerned that a person is bol amamoyna, a person is going to be too excited, too much of the demand from him to drop it, and therefore, if he could get away with doing a more lenient issur rabbanan, we will let him do that. So, noisem likisa lenofa, you can ask a goy to take his wallet. And you have to see after Shemai that the guy will give it back to you. But if it's somebody he knows or he relies on, it's permitted. If there's no nafri, the second verse is manicha ala chamor. You should put it on a donkey. Now, a donkey putting on an animal is the right of shvitas behemtos. So, one option is that. Makna the animal to the goy, then he won't have this problem. Then he has no problem putting on the animal. Otherwise, the way he has to do it is that he has to put on the animal while the animal is walking, and then the animal won't be doing a melacha toitso. Is there for the animal to work is the title of malach, which is for us a malach, which means he's standing and then he starts walking. That's considered the akira, he's uprooting, and then he puts it down when he stands. So he would have to put on his chamor as the chamor is moving. That way his chamor won't be doing malachas. Yeah, the chotach yitzoyno, when he came to the outside courtyard, says also to get it into his chotach, which was getting to Rishas Aram, is also a problem. So what he has to do is, as it's still moving, before it goes to the chotach, with the shino, he has to throw it off. into the chutzis. Now, if you want to know something about how to unload this animal, his chamor is full of kelim. We don't want the chamor have to be with his kelim the entire Shabbos. No, you let the kelim be told the Shabbos. The kelim that are not muktzah can take off. The shein be told the Shabbos. The ones that are not muktzah, matzahs, achavolim, chasakim, noiklim, maleim. He opens up the ropes and the sacks that have the muktzah in them will just fall down. So he's doing a whatchamacallit. He's not directly touching the muktzah, which is permitted, but actually to pick up the muktzah, they didn't permit him to do. If there is glass kelim on top, so you can't let them fall down, they'll break. He's supposed to put a pillow underneath it and then shake them off the pillow afterwards so that he won't make the pillow into pickle clean. Now, funny how I don't put the muktzah for the whole Shabbos kind of clean. Even though you're doing it for part of Shabbos, it's permitted. And many Rishonim learned that there's only 12 hepsis. Without that, you're not allowed to put mukhs even temporarily on hepsis. 24th parak of Shabbos Mishnah Beis. The previous mission we're talking about unloading an animal, and now we're talking about other things that one is permitted or not permitted to do for his animals. Matirim pakiyei omer b'nei behema. One is allowed to open up bundles of straw and the like for the animal, and it's permitted because the animal won't eat it otherwise. So you're allowed to be terech for the animal in order so he should be able to eat it. But if you can eat without it, do extra tichas that aren't necessary, prohibited. Mefasasim et akifin. Mefasasim is you spread it around, and these kifim are some type of branches that they would eat. Avoloy efazirim. But the zirim are the first things that we mentioned. These kipin needed to be spread around in order for the animal to eat it, so they were permitted. The fakir omer, the zirim, which the animals would eat, and without that, you're not allowed to machiach yourself just to make it more comfortable for the animal. In miraskim, you're not allowed to crush lois ashachas, some type of animal fodder, lois acharuvim, carobs, that's near the hema, being daka, being dasa. Yeah. You're now allowed to chop them. This is also a tircha which is not necessary to do on Shabbos. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda matzah the charuvim l'tachos. Rabbi Yehuda permits to chop up the charuvim for a smaller animal, a young animal, because its teeth are softer. We don't chop them that way because we assume that its teeth are strong enough to man without it. Yeah, the mighty crushing things can be an issue of toichen also on Shabbos. And over here, if it wouldn't be just for the fact that it's not necessary, it would be permitted because it's one that he's doing it for the immediate use of the animal. And the Tzarek HaDehema is permitted. 24th parak of Shabbos Mishnah Gimel, more animal halacha is what one can do with his animals. In Oysim et Hagonim Leidosin, and now that a force feed a camel and both oysim and dosim are things that you shove it all the way into his throat to a point that he can't take it out of his mouth, you know, down his throat. Avo malitim, just to put in his mouth, you're allowed to put it. Ein memarim is agolim, avo malitim. Agolim are the young calves that also the same idea that manum is also that you stuff the food all the way into his throat, but it's malit and you have to put it in his mouth. Same idea, just for different animals it was done slightly differently. That you have to put it into his mouth, you now have to shove it down his throat. Well, mahal kitim l'tana goylin, and you have to put mouth in the you have to put food in the mouth of the tana goylin also in a way that it's just in his mouth, you're not shoving it down his throat. Loisim mayim lamusin. Here's a new halacha. These are halachas that are on a gera to losh. You're not allowed to knead a dough. Even putting water into the flour is also. And over here it says that you're allowed to put water into the mursin. Into this is some animal fodder, which l'chayr is putting the water is some type of first step of making into a mush, which could be also. The Mishnah says it's mursin, it's machlekes. Whether this means that you're allowed to put water into the dry morsin, or if there's already water there, you're allowed to add water. We pass the machatkila that anything that if you add water to it, it's going to make a thick and mixture, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You have to do it before Shabbos. Have a light goyim, you're not allowed to stir it up and make it into like a mamash mash. The ein nois, that's the type of kneading. Ein nois in mayim lefnei advoim lefnei yonim shebeshayva. You now put water in front of the bees or birds in a shayva, because these animals, these birds are managed without you, and therefore you now have to mashviach yourself for them. Yeah. It's also the animals that, like we said, they don't depend on you for the Messiah, the man, they live off the wild. That you're allowed to put food and or water in front of different types of domesticated ducks and geese and chickens and doves that were domesticated, because these ones are relying upon you for their food, and therefore it's limited, just like you're allowed to feed yourself, you're allowed to feed your animals. 24 Pesach of Shabbos, Mishnah Talad, we're learning some more lessons of how to treat animals. There's also help of Muksa involved in this. Mechatam et Tadlui Mosnei Adahema, that's an Azei Mosnei Aklovim. The Tanakama home, you're allowed to chop up pumpkins in front of the Hema. We learned before, you're not allowed to be Tadach in preparing food for an animal, so the animal can manage without it. But this is something which is very hard, and therefore it's permitted to chop it up for the animal to use, because you can't eat it without it. And as far as chopping it finely, that's the problem with teichen, which would be permitted only if it's done immediately before the hema is going to eat it. You can't do it for lachas man. And the Shabbos says in general by teichen that you should lachafil avoid even for immediate use. You should not chop it very fine, yeah, even for human use. As we're saying, this is lachafil. There are opinions that say, that's the Kitzak of the Shulchan Aruch, that if it's made for immediate use and you can't chop it fine, but Lachafila wants to chop it in larger pieces. It's an Avela Lishnei Aklovim. The second thing is an animal that died, even if it died on Shabbos, you're allowed to chop it up and give it over to the dogs. Now there's a chiddush over here, because an animal, when it was alive, Tomer Kosher animal, was really set aside for human use. If it died without Shechita, then now became animal use. So what happened was, its use was changed on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, it was for human use, and on Shabbos it became animal food, which is the type of noilad. The Tanakhama holds that this type of noilad is permitted, as Rav Shimon's opinion, which is the way we paskin. Rav Yehuda says, no, it has to be dead and set aside for animal food from before Shabbos. But if on the onset of Shabbos it was human food and then it died and became animal food, Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muksa and Noilad, and this is a type of a Muksa or a Noilad, that it was not prepared for this use from the beginning of Shabbos, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's also, as we said, we're paskin on Shabbos like Rav Shimon, that it is permitted to use this for animal food on Shabbos. 24th pack of Shabbos Mishnah Hay. Learning various Yisurah Derabonim that Chazal instituted on Shabbos. So one of them is that one should not, if someone made a neder, the halacha is that they can go to a chacham, or now there's another three people, and one could be marked a neder under certain circumstances that he regretted that he ever made this neder. The whole process had to do it. This one should not do this on Shabbos, because it's, if it's not L'tzorech Shabbos, it's considered Atircha Shaloi L'tzorech Shabbos, which is also. But Masim and other Shabbos, there's another halacha that if a girl who is a minor makes a neder, her father could be mefer. He could just say, I want to remove this neder, or if she's married, the husband can do that. Now, they can only do that within the day of hearing the neder. So over here, it's always Tzorech Shabbos, because if the father, the husband, will not be made for the neder before nightfall, she's stuck with the neder, so therefore they can be made for the neder on Shabbos. Nisholim, means to go to the Chofim or to the Bezdin, so after they don't have to do that, they can do it after Shabbos. So therefore, you can only ask them with one Shem of Tzorech Shabbos. Only things that are necessary for Shabbos, like we said, to have a Bezdin sit on Shabbos, Shaloi Lutzel Shabbos, Chazal did not permit it. But it was Lutzel Shabbos and it's permitted. Poikikim es ha-ma'or, umboididim es ha-matlis ves ha-mikveh. If there was a hole for the light to come in, then one is allowed to close it up. We learned this halacha in the 17th parak, since it's only a temporary closure, and it's not making it an entire wall or entire ceiling of the building, just closing up a hole, that is permitted. Yeah. There's something to be gained by closing up the solar. If there's a mace inside the room and you stop up the hole, the tumor will not go out. Once again, we're talking about temporary closure. Moidedim es ha-matlis. You also have to measure a certain garment to see if it has the measurements to be metama other things. Once again, this is also medida, which is generally not allowed to measure things, but this is the start of some of the tire to know something that came coming, it's usable, permitted, that's a mikveh, one could also do there, to know if it has the right size, the right amount of water. These are all medidas shel mitzvahs, and since you're measuring with tarif mitzvah, it's permitted. It's time to measure things, shelot tarif mitzvahs, also on Shabbos and Jabbonim. Well, maita, come upon if somebody is sick, you've got to take a temperature, that's a medida of l'tzar chafur, but you're not allowed to do it with an electric one, but a manual one. A murky one is permitted. Maita may avushol the tzaddik may avushol ben botnis. There was a maita in the time of the father of the tzaddik and avushol ben botnis. Pokeku es hamaol b'tofiach. There was a window that was open and they closed it with a some type of jug that was made out of feres, out of pottery. The idea behind this was to prevent the tumah from going through. The kosher is the makiza begemi, and they also have some type of makiza is also some type of pottery. They tied it up with gemi, some type of plant which is animal food. Since it is animal food, it's not considered part of the kli itself, and it's permitted to do on Shabbos. And also they did this leiden yesh the gigas pesef tefer lav. What happened over here was that there were two houses, one to next to each other, and there was a window from one house to a path in between the two houses, and there was a certain amount of dead body which was enough to matama near this window, and there was this jug which was cracked in between these two walls, and the dead body was underneath this jug. So, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that there was a jug that was sticking out of the wall above the dead body, then someone wouldn't have gone into the house because there's nothing directly above the mace. The rule is there's nothing above the mace, it goes straight up and doesn't go to the side. But since the jug was on top of it, so that's considered like an ohel on top of the tumah, and the male tumah spreads out underneath the entire jug. So, what do? They first close the window before they put the jug there, because that would prevent, if the window was open and the jug was there, so the tumah would go underneath the jug into the house. But they closed up the window with some other kli cheres in a fashion that the bottom of the kli cheres was facing outwards. The kli cheres is only the cobblestone from the inside, not from the outside. So basically what they did is they put one kli cheres in the window with the bottom of the kli cheres facing outwards, and this protected the tumah from coming into the house. And that was the first thing which we said in the Mishnah, that the poker is the ma'od of the safiyah, that they use this kli to stop up the tumah from coming in. Then afterwards, they wanted to remove that kli because they wanted to open the window, and what they did is that he took the second Kli Cheres, which was one Tefach wide also, and what they did was they hung it by a string and they dangled it down into that broken second piece of pottery. So once again, we have one piece of pottery in the window which they want to remove. They had another piece of pottery which they had a problem with, that piece of pottery which was broken inside Ephod, but it was an oil over the mace. So what they did is they wanted to remove the pottery that was in the window, so they went on the roof somehow, and they dangled down a second piece of pottery over that second piece of pottery that was sticking out the window. And the idea they wanted to do over here was that they dangled this. Well, it seems to have been like this. The pottery that's sticking out had a crack in it. They weren't sure how wide the crack was. If the crack was a tefach wide, then the tumah would just go through the crack and won't cause any tumah to go into the house. And so they somehow used this second kli as a way of measuring the width of the area on top of it, to see the width of the crack. I guess they knew the width of the second piece of pottery, and that way they measure the width of the crack, and that way they were able to decide if the crack was wide enough they could open the window. If it was too narrow, then you have to keep the window closed because it's important for them to go inside. So after all, the story is Mitzvrayim Lamada, from the Tosafot we learned Shepoike King, you're allowed to stop up a window from on Shabbos, because that's one of the things they did. They use one piece of pottery to stop the window. And you also had a measure, because they also used the second cleat to measure how big the crack was and this cleat that was over the mace. The kashrim, and the second cleat was also tied up with, once again, this temporary knot, which was done with Tarach Mitzvah, that's also permitted on Shabbos. All these things with Tarach Mitzvah. We ended up with the final statement of Shabbos, that you later have to pay him with Tarach Mitzvah, and he's going to do it on Shabbos. And with this, we have finished the Sefer Shabbos.